Well, good evening and a very warm welcome to St. Paul's and tonight to our joint churches evening service, our Mogai Church's Lessons and Carols. Welcome, good to see you here tonight as we come, still in Advent, but with a great sense of expectation of looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight's service will flow unannounced. My only job is to welcome you, and then I'll sit down and join you, just as if I were normal, and like you. And the service will flow with prayers and readings and an epilogue from the Reverend John Wilson at the end. There will be an offering, if you look at the order of service. The offering will be lifted just after the epilogue. So let's worship God as we sing to his praise and his glory, the first hymn on the hymn sheet, the first Noel, the angel did say, and the rest of the service will be unannounced. Thank you.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. This evening, as we come together into the presence of God to worship him, let us think on the words of the psalmist who says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." Father, as we look at our program tonight, with all the carols and readings which speak of your coming to earth as a baby, we see the wonder and glory displayed for all to see and to share. We see the ordinary men and women who witnessed and shared in this glorious event. Today, we as ordinary men and women are still amazed that you, who were one with the Father and enjoyed all that heaven had to offer, would submit to his will, choosing to leave all the glory you shared with him and enter our world with all its mess, its lack of love to one another and to you. Despite all that, you still chose to come and share our lives with us and show us a better way. What is so amazing to us is that although you knew what lay ahead for you in fulfilling the will of the Father, you remained obedient and demonstrated a love so steadfast both then and now. We give you thanks that you loved us more than we can ever express. This love also reminds us that Christmas is not limited to the baby in the manger, but points forward so clearly to the man Jesus and what he was called upon to fulfill in redeeming us and restoring our relationship with the Father. And it is when we think of the love you have for us, which is daily expressed to us in so many ways, that we are reminded how far short our lives are in relation to you, how half-hearted our service can be, and how unworthy we are of your love. But we come tonight again and give you thanks for the many times you have forgiven us and offered us a new start. Thank you, Father, for your patience, your understanding and your acceptance of us, and for giving us the opportunity to enjoy a relationship with you and share our life journey, but most of all, for rescuing us and being our Saviour. Tonight, Father, we pray that you will help us celebrate the true meaning of Christmas as we sing the carols, listen to the well-known passages of Scripture, and hear the word, which shows the world God's saving plan for mankind. We give you thanks for Derek, for leading us in worship and song, and for John as she shares the word. May our time of worship truly be acceptable in your sight, giving you thanks in the prayer that you taught your disciples to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And the Lord God said to the man, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me."
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you, to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Can I just thank those who have participated this evening to help this worship time be something meaningful to us all. So thank you for everyone's participation. This evening, we have shared in singing many of the well-known Christmas carols. For some people, this is a time when they become nostalgic, when they think back to Christmases when they were younger. Maybe they remember things that happened as a child, or when they were a young adult, or parents, or grandparents. When we are in that kind of mood, we often are content in our own thoughts. And there might be this kind of consented glow around us when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. This is a time when we remember the events that took place long ago. Maybe we remember an event from school, a Bible passage that was read, and the message that we read about there of Mary and Joseph and how they made their journey to Bethlehem. And we remember that there was no room at the inn. They were offered a stable, a humble place to be, because that was all that was left. The baby was born. The shepherds came. And sometime later the wise men arrived. We all know that well-known story that was portrayed, I'm sure, in many churches this morning by children in nativities in various ways. However, tonight I want to take you. I want to take you on another journey, a different journey, by telling you this story. The hero of our story has an unusual name. His name is Glencairn. It may sound unusual, but it's true. And the reason for his name was this. His father was a captain of a sailing ship that sailed between Scotland and Australia and elsewhere. The captain, on his first voyage after he was married, decided to take with him his young wife. After many months at sea, he entered the harbour of Fremantle. There his wife disembarked because she was expecting a baby. She travelled then to Brisbane. Meanwhile, he continued his journey, delivering his cargo to different places. He made his way back to Brisbane, and there, for the first time, he met his newly born son. It was then that his parents decided to call him after his father's ship, Glencairn, usually known later as just Glen. The ship went on the next leg of its journey. All was going well, and suddenly they were hit with a terrible snowstorm. It was dark. It was wild. The captain was having difficulty steering his ship and even trying to find his place on the chart. Suddenly, there was a tremendous crash. The vessel had struck a rock. Fortunately, not far from the shore. The water came pouring into the ship's hold. The crew worked hard on the pumps to get the water out, but it was rising faster than they could possibly pump it out. The captain ordered a lifeboat to be lowered down. Three men volunteered and were sent ashore to find a suitable place for them all to land. A large wave came in, capsizing their lifeboat. Two men were lost. The one survivor was floating on the upturned boat. The captain asked for more volunteers. Three men stepped forward. They were prepared to go back into the sea and rescue their comrade. Despite their fears, they went. They got him back. They tried to go ashore again, this time taking the captain's wife and little Glencairn with them, again without success. But this time they returned safely to the ship. The next morning, the sea was calmer. The ship had settled and was grounded. The decision was made to abandon ship, and they all took to the lifeboats and kept together and made their way towards the shore. They were sure that God was watching over them as they made their way to the shore. Everything was going well when suddenly out of nowhere, a band of fully armed warriors appeared on the shore. Immediately, they felt they would rather have drowned than face these warriors. The chief of these warriors was shouting. He was waving his arms in a menacing manner and rushed into the water towards them. The unarmed party were at his mercy. His warriors were ready and willing to obey him. There was no escape. Suddenly an idea rushed into the captain's head. He grabbed his little son from his wife's arms and handed him to the warrior that was coming towards him. The chief looked at the child and was pleased. The others on shore threw down their weapons and helped everyone come ashore. The chief handed this little white baby to his daughter to hold, and she cuddled him lovingly. They began to build fires and shelters for all the sailors, and these sailors were advised to wear moccasins because of the frostbite they may get in the frozen ground. The tribe then told them of a missionary not far away, and they contacted him, and some of the warriors went to get him. He came and brought them many things that were missing because they'd left them on board the ship. After a short time, another ship arrived and was able to bring them back safely to the UK. That's not just a story. That is a true story. That baby saved the lives of everyone who was there. That baby grew up to be a man and lived in Knightswood in Glasgow with his wife and family. I know it's true because Glenn Cairn's daughter is a personal friend of mine with whom I had lunch on Thursday. That baby saved those sailors from certain death. And we are reminded in Scripture, a little child will lead them. Glen Cairn brought safety and security for those lost shipwrecked sailors. That there are times when we might seem lost. We might feel uncertain of the future. Well, let us then, this Christmas, take time to look at the child who came into the world and whose birthday we celebrate and see how he led the people then and he leads us today for those who trust in him. So in a few days' time, let's forget all about an old man with a white beard. And look very closely at a little child that God sent to lead his people. The hymn writer said, a little child the Saviour came. The mighty God was still his name. And angels worshipped as he lay, the seeming infant of the day. Tonight we remember the birth of a special child, where God came into our midst all those years ago. And in the light and in the life of that child, is your life what you expected it to be? Has the plan you made or I made for our life worked out the way we wanted it? Sometimes our life needs to change. Tonight we have sung about the coming of our Saviour, and we have had the opportunity to meet with him, not physically, but in our minds and in our inner being. He came to give us life, and it's a new life that you can have if you want it. The gift of a child. We thank God for the gift of his Son, who was born, who lived, and who died to bring us salvation. What a child. What he did. How wonderful, how awesome. And he's our God. He is our child. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to bless us now and be near us as we think of the child that came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, enable us to be worthy of you, to serve you all the days of our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The offering tonight, which will be uplifted just in a moment or two, the offering will be going to WaterAid, and we ask you that you now might worship God in the giving of your offering. Heavenly Father, we have rejoiced in singing many of our well-loved carols. We have read those well-known passages of Scripture declaring the birth of the Messiah who is Jesus. We offer you these, our offerings, to continue the work of the gospel both at home and in other parts of the world, and to help those who are suffering because they can get no fresh water. But more than that, O Lord, we offer ourselves to serve you wherever we are. Look upon us in love and encourage us in all that we seek to do in your name. Not for our glory, but the glory of your kingdom, and to encourage the church in our land and throughout the world. We continue to remember the families of people who sleep on the streets, for the organisations like Glasgow City Mission, the Preshall Trust, the Bethany Trust, and many others seeking to help those in need. We remember the many families who for one reason or another cannot rejoice because of a variety of circumstances. We praise and thank you for the street pastors working in so many places up and down our country. Be with them as they try to help young and old alike who have maybe overindulged in their celebrations and are then wondering what they are doing. Lord, be with them. We give you thanks again for Jesus, for his nearness when we are afraid, concerned, or crying for help. Thank you for being there for us. We have enjoyed our time of celebration and singing, so let us leave this place, having had fellowship with one another, but above all for fellowship with Jesus himself, and let us go out with joy in our hearts this night and forevermore. Amen. Now, immediately after the service tonight, you're invited for tea and coffee in the large hall immediately after the service. We do hope you will wait behind and have some fellowship together. And we now come to our closing item of praise. O come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this night and forevermore.